The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Deep down the middle's got his man, and he's gone! Jason Swain, touchdown!
It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his mouth and a red flag. Woo!
SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. Ben McKee, GoVols 247. I'm Jason Swain. Hope you are having a wonderful morning. Let me clear my throat, Ben. Ben, how did it feel rooting for Alabama last night? Feel pretty cool.
I did not root for Alabama. War Eagle, baby. I was rooting for Auburn.
Oh, you're rooting for somebody.
Yeah, because I don't root for Alabama, unlike you.
Hey. It's okay to admit, without rooting for a team, that it was better for Tennessee basketball that Alabama won that game against Auburn. Auburn, yes. Undefeated in the league so far. It was an amazing game. It was
Indianapolis.
Very intense. I find it funny that Jay Williams, the last time he was there at Coleman Coliseum, talked about how wasn't that loud. Crowd didn't really bring it. Ben McKee. And sometimes you get a little FOMO as a fan base, as a fan. You get a little FOMO. You fear of missing out. You look at Alabama's arena setup. You look at Auburn's arena setup. You're like, oh, I want that. And then you realize after Danny White dunks on you that you're only one of a handful of arenas in college basketball in the country that can do what Tennessee does on a consistent basis. Sell out, create an amazing atmosphere, and still produce big numbers where everyone else is downsizing because it's hard to fill up arenas and stadiums. Tennessee basketball still doing that. But it was a really good second half. I thought it was a really good game. Two teams that don't like each other, that respect each other, that was playing hard as heck. But don't get it twisted, Ben McKee. Alabama winning. Good for Tennessee.
Let me ask you this. Because I had this debate in my group text last night with my college friends, some of my closest friends. We had this discussion. If Tennessee were to win out, if Auburn were to win out, but Tennessee beat Auburn when the two teams play here in a couple of weeks, what would happen at the end of the season?
If Tennessee wins out,
which means Tennessee would finish with one SEC loss. Auburn wins out but loses to Tennessee. They finish with one SEC loss, their one SEC loss being to Tennessee. What happens in that scenario on the final day of the regular season?
I mean, Tennessee will be the champions.
So why do we have to root for Alabama when you technically still have that scenario?
Because we know Tennessee is not going to win out.
We also know that Auburn's not going to win out.
Which is why we want Auburn to lose while being undefeated, because it helps Tennessee be able to drop a game or two if that were to happen, which we know the league is good, which probably is going to happen.
Yes. What you're saying is correct. I'm not denying what you're saying is correct. It's facts. It's a simple fact that, yes, technically speaking, Auburn losing last night helped Tennessee. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
But here was my argument. It is too early in the conference schedule to be wanting Alabama to win when you're separated by one game. You're separated by one game with a whole lot of basketball left to be played. It is too early in the conference schedule to be wanting Alabama, not South Carolina to beat Auburn, not Arkansas to beat Auburn, not Texas A&M to beat Auburn, not Vanderbilt even, or even Florida, Vanderbilt, but Alabama, when one game separates Tennessee and Auburn with a lot of basketball to be played, and Auburn has to come to Thompson Bowling. Now, if the game was separated, or if Auburn and Tennessee was separated by two or three games already, then okay, cool, I'm with you. Or if it's the final week of the season, the final day of the conference slate, then yes, I'm with you. But it is too early, and there's only one game of separation to want Alabama to beat Auburn. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. It is too early. I understand what you're saying. Again, the math is correct. That's a simple fact. But it is January 25th. Prior to Auburn losing, there was one game of separation. Not enough to be rooting for Alabama.
You just messed up.
My math, that is correct, that if Tennessee were to win out, Auburn were to win out, and Tennessee beats Auburn, Tennessee still wins the league anyways.
You know you messed up. Yeah.
It's too early to be rooting for Alabama.
You know you messed up.
You messed up because you're smirking over there.
You messed up, man. You messed up. It's too what?
Too early.
Too early, huh?
Mm-hmm.
To do what again?
To be rooting for Alabama.
To be rooting for Alabama. Okay. All right. I don't recall me rooting for Alabama.
Look at you dancing around in your words. Did you prefer for Alabama to beat Auburn last night? Yes or no?
I prefer Auburn to lose.
No. Because by that method, you are wanting Alabama to win because that is the team that Auburn is playing. Because you want Auburn to lose, therefore you wanted Alabama to win, therefore you were rooting for Alabama to win.
We've done this before. We just did it in the SEC championship game when it was best for Georgia to lose so they wouldn't go to the college football playoff, because if they would have, they probably would have won the third championship in a row. And ain't nobody trying to hear them fans barking and celebrating a three-peat. So we needed Alabama to beat Georgia, okay? That happened. That eliminated Georgia. Then we needed Alabama to lose in the college football playoff. And it couldn't have been scripted even any better. I laid out the scenario, I think here, I definitely did on Josh and Swain, weeks before it played out. I was like, we needed Bama to beat Georgia. We need Michigan to beat Bama. And boom, it happened. It happened. I was cool with Michigan or Washington winning a championship. I didn't care who won. I was good.
What about Texas?
Michigan and Washington a little bit better. Now, even Texas coming into the SEC, hooking them and doing all that stuff. Coming in with all momentum in the SEC. I remember when Missouri did that, and we were losing to Missouri when they first hit the SEC. So, no, we don't want Texas hitting the SEC with momentum, feeling good about themselves. We want them coming in with low confidence, low self-esteem. That's what we want from Texas, all right? Same thing plays here, Ben. Auburn is number one in the SEC currently.
Was
number one in the SEC. And you up here telling people not to fan too early. What do you do, Ben? You wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you go, nice. It's too early, man. I only start fanning at 7 a.m. It's too early to be a fan. Let me wait until 7 a.m. to start being a fan. No, Ben, you don't turn this stuff off. You're a fan all
the
time.
Yes, you do.
No, you
when
don't.
It comes to Alabama, yes, you do. You of all people should know this. When it comes to Alabama.
I wasn't rooting. I wasn't rooting for him.
Yeah, you could say that you're not to make yourself feel better. You were. If you wanted Auburn to lose the basketball game, you were rooting for Alabama to win that night.
No.
Yes. You can say whatever you need to feel to make yourself feel better, but you were rooting for Alabama to win because you wanted Auburn to lose.
No.
However you want to slice it and phrase it to make yourself feel better, it's too early. There's not a big enough difference between Tennessee and Auburn to be rooting for one of your two biggest rivals in the SEC. Too early.
Mm-mm.
Tennessee is handling its own business right now.
No need
at the end of January to be rooting for Alabama.
They're handling their own business.
Mm-hmm.
We wasn't first place. What are you talking about?
They are now.
Now you can handle your own business, but you didn't before. When you lost to Mississippi State and Tolu Smith was out there looking like Hakeem Olajuwon. You didn't handle business that day.
Still technically controlled your own destiny.
No, you didn't.
Despite that.
No,
yes, you did. It is a fact, maybe a far-fetched fact and a fact that was not going to come to fruition, but it is a fact. If Tennessee won out, and Auburn won the rest of its game, except for the Tennessee game, Tennessee wins the league. That is a fact. Is it not? Yes or no? That is a fact. I'll answer for you. Yes. Yes, Ben. That is a fact.
Yeah. Okay. That's a fact. But you know that wasn't going to happen.
You know that it wasn't going to happen either.
We've seen Jabari Smith
Jr. In terms of Auburn winning out. Everybody acting like Auburn wasn't ever going to lose the basketball game again.
We've seen Jabari Smith Jr., lottery pick. We've seen Alabama with Brandon Miller, lottery pick. We've seen these teams. We've seen Kentucky teams that were stacked with talent not be able to go through the league in the SEC and only lose just one game. You think you're sleep, Ben?
I'm not. It is too early to be rooting for that team. Not happening. It's that simple.
It's too early to want the best scenario for your team. It's too early for that.
Yeah, when my team is controlling its own destiny and playing well, yeah, it is.
Mm.
When there's basically no separation between the two, yeah, it is too early.
Mm.
When you're separated by a game and you have them come into your building that you don't lose in, yeah, it's too early. Now, am I happy that Auburn lost and that helps Tennessee? Absolutely. But that don't mean that I was rooting for Alabama in the process.
See, Nat, you know, I'm going to break.
I already told you that what you were saying was a fact. I'm just saying that I'm not rooting for Alabama in the process.
I wasn't rooting for anybody. I was just watching the game.
If you wanted Auburn to lose, you were rooting for Alabama.
Mm-mm. No, actually, I didn't.
Auburn could have been playing every other team in the league but Kentucky. Kentucky and Alabama are the only two teams that Auburn could have been playing that I'm not rooting against Auburn.
Mm-mm. I wasn't rooting. I was just enjoying the
whatever the makes you feel better and sleep better at night. Did you sleep better at night with the way that you danced around your words and set your words up to make yourself feel better? Mm. Did you get a full night's rest of sleep?
I
laid my head on the pillow about 11:30. Next thing I know, my alarm was going off at 7 a.m. I didn't wake up once. You know why? I was able to sleep well last night because I know I did not root for Alabama, unlike your filthy, disgusting fan self.
No. Slept like a baby, man.
I don't believe you.
Never root for Alabama at all. 865-255-03 is the telephone number. Remember how back in the day you controlled my mic, you controlled my volume? I control yours, Ben, now, okay? So hush it. Hush it. Back in the day, mom used to grab your lips just and squeeze your lips. Just hush. Be quiet, Ben. Be quiet. We got to go to a break. We're coming back after these great messages. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
You're listening to The Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Fellas, it's a new year. Low T Center can make it a great one. If you've been feeling tired and grumpy, have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare. Dead End Barbecue has you covered when you need the food to be on point for your next event. Go to deadendbbq.com to learn more or call 865-414-9417. Dead End Barbecue, the catering search is over.
Hey there, Swain Event crew. Just like fall sports, the Knoxville area real estate market is strong and growing stronger. We're in everything region. When you get the big orange itch to buy, sell, or invest, call me, Jennifer Morris with Keller Williams Realty at 865-257-7897 or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com. Go Vols!
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
Hey there, Swain Event fam. If you're currently renting and just about priced out of your place, give me a call. Jennifer Morris with Keller Williams Realty at 865-257-7897. You may be able to buy a home and have monthly payments less than your rent. And wouldn't you rather pay your own mortgage than someone else's? Hope to hear from you soon, and go Vols!
Ben McKee, Go Vols 247. I'm Jason Swain, live here in the Low T Center studio. The Bailey Chevrolet text box is open for you. Send in those comments, send in those questions. If you are looking for a Tahoe or a Suburban, this is the time. Now is the time to shop Bailey Chevrolet. They have a record number of Tahoes and Suburbans in stock. If you are looking for a Chevy Equinox, Blazer, Silverado that fits your lifestyle, shop Bailey Chevrolet, where you can get 1.9% APR on new Equinoxes, Blazers, Silverados. Buy with confidence with the Bailey Chevrolet warranty for life. Locally owned, operated for over 90 years. That is BaileyChevrolet.com. Ben.
Jason.
I feel like I don't know why I need to do this, but this was on my timeline this morning. I got up this morning, checked, make sure it was late enough to be a fan, and checked my Twitter, and I saw some stuff about Evan Stewart. Guys, we not bringing in no Evan Stewart. Okay. Anyways, like I wish y'all would stop. Stop. Tennessee is probably done right now. You know what? Now Michigan has a 30-day window. Hey, what's up now? You know what's crazy? When in Orlando during the Citrus Bowl, when Michigan was playing Alabama, I may have looked at the whole offensive line for Michigan to see if anyone had any eligibility, assuming that Harbaugh was going to leave, to see if Tennessee could use some of those big old offensive linemen. You know, that offensive lineman that was smacking Alabama around, that offensive lineman that was smacking Washington around in the national championship game. A lot of those dudes, all of them were either seniors or like grad transfers, like old dudes. And if you are Tennessee next year, you got a line full of old dudes except for Lance Hurd, you should want to do and expect to do what Michigan's offensive line did this past year. But that 30-day window now is open for Michigan as Harbaugh leaves to take the L.A. Chargers job. I don't blame Harbaugh one bit, man.
No, I don't either. I'd rather coach in the NFL as well. I love college football more than I love the NFL. But if I was a coach, I would rather coach in the NFL than in college football just because your quality of life is better in the sense of getting to see your family more often. You actually have an off season, still long hours in season, but your game planning, your scheming, you're not having to worry about recruits. You're not having to worry about the transfer portal. I mean, imagine if John Harbaugh, who is trying to get Lamar Jackson over the hump this weekend and cement Lamar's legacy against the Chiefs, imagine if John Harbaugh was also at the same time while he's trying to game plan for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs defense that is playing at a great level and Chris Jones, while he's dealing with all that, he's got to worry about bringing in some transfers and recruiting them and taking time out of game planning to call this receiver in the portal, that linebacker in the portal. I mean, that would probably be the thing that would annoy me most as a college coach is if I was in the playoffs, but while trying to prepare for playoff games, while trying to prepare for those, you're having to recruit. That would drive me crazy, taking time away from a playoff game to recruit. So I don't blame Harbaugh at all. Now, I'll be surprised if you see, I'm sure there'll be a guy or two, right? But I'd be surprised if you see movement at Michigan the way you saw it at Bama, Washington, Arizona, because I mean it'd be a stunner.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. Moore, you kidding me?
And
playoffs?
I mean, they do promote from within. I just don't. Seems like a lot of players are already backing Shamar Moore, and I just don't see a lot of.
What'd you call him? Shamar. Ain't no M in his name.
What's his name?
You call him what you want to call him. You ain't
what's
call
his
him
name?
What I'm gonna call him. He said I'm gonna call him what I want to call him. Ain't no A in his name, and ain't no it's M in his first name.
What do you mean?
He knows, huh?
I'm thinking of the. I'm thinking of the actor. Shamar Moore, the one of my favorite shows, my wife's show as well, is SWAT on CBS.
Yeah,
and the lead actor is Shamar Moore, so that's where I got that from.
That's our favorite show, huh?
One of our favorite shows.
Our okay. she just like looking at Shamar Moore. That's
probably. I don't blame her. He's a good looking guy for a 53-year-old. He is, if you want to look up the definition of black don't crack in the dictionary, put that's Shamar it. Moore next to that definition.
That's him, man.
Was it Sharon Moore at Michigan? Now I've got the two mixed up in
Sharon.
My head.
It's Sharon Moore.
Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon.
Yeah, I got him mixed up with the actor. But
Sharon,
it looks like they're going to
run
with him.
It looks like Sharon. Looks like Sharon Moore.
I don't know. The way he was crying after that Penn State win, he deserves to have his name messed up at least once.
I don't know why he was
today. But I just don't see a lot of Michigan players leaving if they do promote him.
No, I'm with you. But still, he not Harbaugh. And Harbaugh is a former quarterback in Michigan. He is a coach that has success at the NFL level. When you went to Michigan, you signed up to play for Harbaugh. Okay, you probably want to play for Michigan because you want to wear the M and all that stuff too, probably, for some of those guys. But for the most part, you signed up to play for Michigan. Excuse me, you signed up to play for Harbaugh. And now Harbaugh's gone. Some of those dudes might say, yeah, I mean, more cool. Like, we like him, but he know Harbaugh. Same way that players signed up to play for Nick Saban. Somebody might hit that portal. And if they do, I hope they are good. And I hope it's a good fit for my team. That's all. That's all I'm saying. 865-255-03. Nelson from Jackson says, Mrs. McKee ain't slick.
Yeah. What's up, Nelson from Bartlett? What's up, Nelson from Memphis?
Chip Payne says, I was not cheering for any team last night. But, however, I got real hot with the middle school gym tactics Alabama was doing to throw Auburn off their game. And the fact that Jalen Milroe was getting interviewed for 45 minutes talking about Saban made me throw up. I mean, there's a message on here from Clay talking about TBA, Food Senate Center. My issue is that the old crowd that really doesn't get into the game and leaves 3 minutes to go. But I am also aware they pay the most for their seats. That's the scenario. And don't get me wrong, like, who likes seeing that? I don't like seeing that. It's not a good look when people get up before the game when you're losing. But it doesn't bother me as much because they pay for the seats. They can pick and choose when they want to get up. You have to give them a reason to sit down and stay down. And I think it's even better when we're up on a team by double digits and our crowd leaves early. I think it's hilarious. I think it rubs salt in the wounds a little bit deeper for the opponent. I'm just not someone that's going to tell someone what to do with the tickets they bought with their own money. But I do acknowledge how it looks. And I bet a lot of universities and arenas want to duplicate what Cameron Indoor is, with the Dukies and how crazy it is. Because it looks awesome on TV. But you can't just snap your finger and just start kicking people out of their seats that write seven-figure checks to you, six-figure checks to you, and expect them to continue to do that. Tennessee has been able to fill the seats. You're top five in attendance every year. You're selling tickets. And when people come to town, you're not losing. Like, you have a great home court advantage. It would be one thing if it wasn't affecting the opponent. It is. It's just different. It's just different than playing at the Jungle at Auburn. It's just different. And so I get what you would prefer. Because honestly, I would prefer to have the size that we have with our arena. See, so had to specify. Can't leave no openings for Ben to be smart. I would prefer to have the size of the arena, the Thompson Bowling Arena has, Food City Center, but also the intimacy of the fans being right there on the court. Like, I would prefer to have that, like, right up on you. That would make it even more difficult for the opponent. I would prefer that. But, like, we don't have that. Just like I would prefer to be 6'7". I would prefer to be able to have dreads if I want to. I would prefer to be rich. These are things I prefer. I prefer that it didn't snow last week the way it did. I just want convenient snow. I just want snow to fall down that allows me to make a snowman, give me a little care and some coal, and then like 2 days later it melts. But I still want to be able to drive. I still want to be able to do things. That's what I prefer. I prefer these things. We all have preferences. That doesn't mean that we're going to get them. And every athletic program in the country prefers to have a big arena while still having a Duke-Auburn type of setup with home games. We all prefer that. But guess what? That's not what we're going to get.
But it still gets just as loud as those arenas, if not louder, because there's more people in the building. But here's what I don't understand from Danny White's tweet the other day, because he said that there were, by moving the students from the corner to behind both baskets closer to the court, increasing lower bowl seats by 40%, 1279 to 1717. I need somebody to explain to me, like I'm five, how sections 123, 124, 125, 126, 27, 29, and half of 128 is 4,000 seats less than 129, half of 128, 113, and half of 114.
Is it because behind the baskets, there are no seats and people stand up?
Okay.
Does that have something to do with it?
Is that making up 4,000 seats?
Hey, man.
That little area right there is not the biggest area in the world.
You got two areas, and you pack a lot of people in those areas.
But 4,000 people?
Hey, man.
I was intrigued that because it seems like there is just based off of looking at the seating chart, and obviously they have the exact numbers. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I was just surprised to see that number.
I got an idea for you. How about you tweet Danny White that you want proof of those numbers, and I guarantee you by the fifth tweet he's going to give them to you.
I'll probably get a DM or text message before I got to the fifth day.
The fifth time, you will get your answer, Ben. I promise you that.
Again, I'm not saying he's wrong and lying. I'm really not. I was surprised to see that number. And I do feel like the student section had a greater impact when the student section was made up the way it was before they moved them behind the basket.
Really?
Because I feel like that section, they had more people over there. And now they've split them up, and in between them is a lot of season ticket holders.
Listen, I remember going to the Auburn game when Jabari Smith Jr. was on the team. They were like number one in the country for weeks before that game. I don't know if they were number one when it came in or not, but they were one of those teams that people thought were going to win the national championship. And that thing was jumping. Like, TBA was jumping. It wasn't Food City Center then, so I can call it TBA. It was jumping. And I remember Kentucky games that I've been to, jumping. Like, loud. I mean, last year, I was at the Texas game. Whew. Guys, that was an incredible atmosphere. And it's hard for me to believe that the folks with the loudest voice are the ones actually going to the games. The ones that complaining about the student section, which, again, it's not a terrible suggestion. It's really not. I get it.
It's a conversation.
It really is. Like, it's not – a bad thing to say, hey, man, you got people sitting on their hands. You got people leaving. Like, that's not a good look. Because if I was in those seats, I wouldn't do that. Like, I get it from that fan's perspective. Like, if I was in those seats, I wouldn't be sitting on my hands like that person. Or I would be in my seat. I know there was a game where we were playing, we weren't playing a big SEC opponent or anything like that. It was an early game, and like some of the floor seats, dude, they showed the announcers, and all them seats was empty. And I was like, that's not a good look at all. So I get it. I understand. But you have to weigh out the pros and cons and understand that people would kill to have what we have. Like, what is Harbaugh asking his football team? Who has it better than us? Nobody. Like, not a lot of schools can say they can sell out 20,000 plus arenas like Tennessee.
At a football school.
At a football school. Like, that's what you have to stop and be like, yo, let me put stuff in perspective here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now, some of those first games that you mentioned, that was pre the student section being moved. I will make that note. But the games since the student section has been moved, they've still been electric and very loud. This year's home slate wasn't great until conference play started. But Ole Miss game, Alabama, especially in the midst of Knoxville getting out of a winter storm and people still somewhat hesitant to get out and move around. Some people still unable to get out and move around. Alabama game was loud on Saturday. And the people who complain about those who sit, I'm not saying that they don't have a point at all, but I do have an opinion that the people who have that belief are exaggerating just a little bit and maybe making a mountain out of a molehill, because where the media is currently seated now, I'm sure we'll get booted up to the top at some point, and that's okay. I'd rather be able to see the whole floor better at the 200 level anyways, but that's a separate conversation. But like, I'm sitting right there in the midst of the people who people are complaining about. And yeah, there's obviously some who don't stand, but that's also part of a crowd. Like, not everybody that goes to a sporting event, especially in an arena that has 20,000 people in it, not everybody's going to be diehard fans. Some are casuals who are going because their buddy had a free ticket, their family member had a free ticket. They're not going to be as into it as the diehards. So I think you have to remember that. But I see people down there all the time jumping out of their seats. The people in front of me that are sitting courtside, I'm in the front row of the media. Those people stand up and get in my way the entire time against Alabama. I mean, when Dalton's racing down the court and about to throw it down for a breakaway dunk, like, the entire lower bowl is getting on their feet and getting loud. So, there are times when people sit on their hands, but typically those times are last year against Kentucky, when you're retiring Chris Lofton's jersey and the team doesn't show up for the final 30 minutes of the game and the team wasn't giving them something to cheer about. And I know there's some people that say, well, you're fans, you're supposed to cheer consistently and constantly, no matter what. And okay, I get that. But the team also has a lot to do with it as well. The performance on the court dictates what the crowd is going to do as well. Those are the type of games when the team doesn't show up that the environment is maybe not as much as it can be or what it should be. But like Alabama in the games this season and Texas game last year, like you pointed out, all of these, even that Kentucky game last year, I mean, it was on fire to start the game, and then they started playing poorly and fans got agitated and irritated and they weren't as boisterous because they were irritated. So I do feel like that conversation is a little bit overblown, because I consistently see the lower bowl on their feet quite a bit. Even the people sitting courtside jumping out of their seats when Dalton Connect is breaking away for a dunk or plays of that magnitude. It's still very, very loud. And I maintain that Thompson Bowling Arena is one of the most underrated, if not the most underrated, home atmosphere in college basketball.
It really is. Really.
And somebody else makes a great point here on the text box. I think it was Vol Fan. I mean, if you had 8,000, Swain, you joke all the time, I've got Auburn family in my family. And I have friends that I went to high school with that are Auburn fans. They can't go to Auburn basketball games because tickets are so expensive and tickets are so few and far to come by. And it's kind of like the thing with Tennessee baseball. A lot of people want to go watch Tennessee baseball right now, but they've been priced out because there's so few seats that prices are outrageous. And if they're not outrageous, they sell out quickly. So, I mean, you don't have – there is this Matt Norlander, CBS, had a story on it a couple of weeks ago about how a lot of programs across the country are – shifting away from the 20,000 seat arenas and trying to build the Auburn 8,000, 10,000. You've seen Auburn do it. Baylor is the latest school to build a very intimate arena on campus. Ole Miss just did it. These very intimate arenas where 8,000, 10,000 fans are, yeah, they're right on top of you, but the ticket prices are outrageous and they're fueling far to come by. They're hard to get a hold of, even if the tickets aren't outrageous. So which would you rather have? Like Tennessee, yeah, tickets are expensive because Tennessee basketball is a hot ticket right now, but there's at least 21,000 tickets to be bought, and it's a different crowd, but the crowd is just as electric in a different way than those intimate settings.
865-255-03. Ben McKee, GoVols 247. I'm Jason Swain. Stay with us. Be right back.
It is so good to be here with Charlie Pratt with Modern Woodmen and MWA Financial Services. And Charlie, you have a passion for helping and working with East Tennesseans. Why is that?
Man, I was born and raised here in Knoxville. My family's owned a business here since the 1920s. I played football at Central High School and Maryville College. I'm just really proud to work in East Tennessee.
What are you the most proud of?
We do a really good job of meeting people where they're at on their financial journey. I've got clients that are just now starting out. I've got clients that are in the middle of saving and doing a great job, and I've got clients who have worked really hard their whole lives, and it's time for them to enjoy their retirement. It's my job to make sure their money lasts as long as they do in retirement, and they're able to leave a legacy for their family.
So with that being said, what are the next steps?
Let's sit down and take a look at your financial plan. Give me a call, 865-919-6468.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Fellas, it's a new year. Low T Center can make it a great one. If you've been feeling tired and grumpy, have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
I know missing the show live is a bummer, but don't fret. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Awesome!
Never too early for Ben McKee to start media in, and that's what you'll be doing today, Ben McKee, because getting closer and closer to baseball.
Yeah, I'll try to make this quick since you give me like 13 seconds to talk about baseball, but Tony Vitello speaking to the media at 10 o'clock today, and AJ Russell, who will be Tennessee's second starting pitcher behind Drew Beam this season. He's talking along with Blake Burke, at 9:45. So I'll dip out here in a couple of minutes to go listen to Tony V and the boys talk for a couple minutes.
That's it? That's on baseball note you got?
I've got plenty of baseball notes, but I get harassed every single time by Jason Swain, Nelson from Bartlett. I get harassed for mentioning baseball.
That's a lie.
Here on the show. It's all right. Nelson's when Tennessee wins a national championship within the next 5 years on the diamond, Nelson's not going to be allowed to celebrate. We're putting him in the corner, turning him around, face the wall, and not giving him a window either. I mean, we're going to put him in a room by himself, not allowed to turn around and celebrate with everybody else.
It's like being in timeout in grade school. Put your head in the corner. Don't turn around. We over here doing activities, man. We over here making noodle necklaces. Turn your butt around, Nelson. You can't enjoy what we got going on over here. QC Rodney, the other McKee says, so, AD Danny White, is he the most our guy AD we've had or what? Dude keeps it real. Yeah, I like him stepping back a little bit. I thought it was funny. I'm telling you, man, he's not going to let the wrong narrative grow and grow and not get addressed. You remember how he was when Tony Elliott over there in Virginia kept talking about how he turned down Tennessee. Yeah, I turned him down. Yeah, I turned him down. Yeah, they wanted me. They wanted your boy. They was over here begging your boy. You know, they wanted me to come say their football program. Man, they was desperate, man. They was desperate. Yeah, man. Yeah, I told them, man, I don't know, man. I need like $10 million a year. Yeah, man. They was over there. They was on the phone crying, man. Yeah, Danny White was crying and told me he wanted me to come be the coach, man. I told him, no. All right, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. We not doing that no more. I'm obviously being sarcastic and joking about Tony Elliott. But Tony Elliott was under the impression that he was offered the job. And he was telling folks, that is what happened. And Danny had enough. He had enough of that. So he came out and let the world know. Offer one coach. That's Josh Heupel. Louisiana Vol says, can y'all touch base on pumping in crowd noise? You see, I'm from the boot, and LSU fans always say that's why they say our crowds are always the loudest. They hating since we be winning. Man, ain't no crowd noise pumped in. That's just 21,000 people. That's all that is.
Yeah, all you need to point out is, and to me, this is Tennessee is a football school. There is no doubt about that. That goes without being said. But Tennessee's basketball fan base, although it has its moments, it's a very smart basketball fan base in the sense that I don't think people give Tennessee's basketball fan base enough credit for their understanding of the game. Again, has its moments where it doesn't look great, but for the most part, it is a really, really good basketball fan base. And all you need to know or see or hear is during the game, listen to the crowd when Tennessee's on offense. Listen to the crowd when Tennessee's on defense. Two totally different crowds. Tennessee's crowd practically silent when it's on offense and is real loud and tenacious when Tennessee is on defense and building some momentum. That A tells you that there's no crowd noise being pumped in because it gets very silent as soon as Tennessee gets on offense. B tells you that Tennessee has a good basketball crowd as well. A lot of these schools are begging fans to show up and having to build small arenas to prevent the non-conference games that nobody cares about in November and December from looking poor on television. Tennessee doesn't have those issues. Tennessee does not have those issues.
I mean, listen, man. A part of me understands some of our fans. Things have been going so well No scandals, no drama. You got teams competing. You got players not getting in trouble. Athletic program is really healthy. And you ain't used to that. It's too quiet. You're getting stark crazy. Like we did last week. Getting stark crazy. Oh, man, we got to complain about something. Ah, let me complain about this. It ain't that serious. We good. We good. Ark Vall says, how does Ole Miss have so many spots for transfer? It seems like they're taking everything. I mean, they got another commitment yesterday or something. They got a few guys. They lost two. But they got spots. We got spots. And we got less spots than them probably. So I don't know their numbers. I don't know who graduated. I don't know who left Ole Miss. But you look at all the players that we've gotten, and honestly, it doesn't even feel like it. Because at one point, it felt like that Tennessee was watching everybody else. Didn't it? When Tennessee gonna start bringing in players? Well, man, look at that school. Look at that school. They doing this. We ain't doing that. But when you look up, you're like, oh, dang. Tennessee has brought in their whole team, the whole unit, excuse me, on one side of the football. I mean, Tennessee's added some nice pieces. We had a conversation about that on Tuesday. I gave it a B grade, which is, I think, good. But Tennessee's added, I had a list of, I can't find it. How many players have Tennessee brought in? I don't know, you got a list readily available.
Yeah, I have a list, but I don't know the number off the top of my head.
You don't number your list? What's the point of making a list if you don't put numbers next to it?
I don't number every list that I make.
I mean, I got to find the number.
Let's see. I got 8.
8? Yeah, it's almost a whole unit. It's almost a whole unit. So that's pretty good. And I don't think that number is going to stay at 8. At least I hope not.
It better not. I think they'll be very active post-spring.
Yeah, I need that number to be a little bit more. That's all.
Like 12 or 13.
That's all I'm saying. I just need a little bit more. 100%. 865-255-0303. Tico says, Ben, you left Swain out of your closest friend chat. I mean, I'm not in there.
No, because A, Swain is too big time for me.
Wow.
B, he leaves me out of his group chat.
I'm not even C, in a group chat unless it's with my family.
C, like it's 50-50 whether he responds or not anyways.
Yeah, that's true. I won't respond when you want me to respond properly.
No. Hours later.
Here's the problem. Here's what happened. I have my phone on silent too much, and I don't hear it, and I don't see it.
My phone doesn't make, so when you get a text message, your phone doesn't vibrate?
No, man. You gonna show me how to set that up on my settings? I'm feeling old, but I need some help.
No, you've got a high schooler and a wife who is fluent in social media. I'll let them show you.
Yeah, man. So a lot of times I don't even see it.
Too far of a drive into town for me.
That's changing though, right?
Yeah. I'll be about 4 minutes closer.
No, you'll be a whole lot closer, man. I live in Northwest Knoxville. So if you're going to hit North Knoxville, that means you're closer to me. You're not even in Knoxville right now.
I am in Knoxville.
Okay.
I know what's going to benefit me now is I am moving to North Knoxville, Fountain City area. I'm trying to just be close to Jennifer Morris, the GOAT Jennifer Morris. I just want to annoy her as much as I can possibly annoy her. So I wanted to move closer to her. But the thing that's going to be working well for me now is because I have to deal with Chapman Highway or John Sevier or Alcoa Highway. Not fun to deal with, especially during the heavy traffic part of the days. But now I'll be able to jump on 640. Yeah, at 640, yeah. And I'll be able to scoot around all over the place.
Yeah, you'll be real close to me, man. Mm-hmm. I can get over there in a hot second over there on Broadway. So yeah, we'll be closer. Oh yeah, reminder, Ben. Reminder. I'm booked. When you need to move, I am booked.
All right, I'll consult the missus.
I'm sure I'll have
and see when you're not booked
to go to or. Birthday, little kid's birthday party, or some type of recreational activity for the kids, or staring at the wall. I don't know. I'll be booked that day, but hit me up anyway.
I was going to ask you for help anyways.
Never know. Never know. Defensive 4-2-3. Stop. Chip Payne, who's the best defensive team in the SEC right now? What are you talking about, Chip?
What sport?
I know you ain't talking about basketball. Chip, I know you ain't talking about basketball asking that question. Did you not watch the last game Tennessee played in? Did you not see Alabama come up in here with that great offensive efficiency only to turn the ball over 20-something times and get locked down? Now, Sears still did his thing, but, man, he has the ball in his hands. He has a green light. He's going to get his points. He barely passes the ball.
His 15 of his 22 points came in the second half after Tennessee was leading by 20.
Yeah, like, he's being overly aggressive.
And he was shooting 50% from three entering the game, 47.8, technically speaking. And he made, I believe he is one of three from three, and his one made three didn't come until there was 2.5 minutes left in the game.
Yeah. Neil Mafia says, Swain, I've told Michigan I'm not available for the head coaching opening. I need to focus on my family and mental health now. Please alert Chris Lowe. Thanks. You got it, Neil Mafia. You got it. Chip Payne. Just trying to make conversation. I know the answer. Calm down. Chip. Is that how you make conversation, Chip? Chip needs to move to Knoxville, man. My man lives in Newton, Georgia. Oof. He's surrounded by dog fans. He is so lonely in Georgia that the way he starts conversation is by asking questions that everyone in the country knows. Like, Tennessee has the best defense in the SEC. We got to get Chip in Knoxville, man. Because during football season, when Chip was coming to Knoxville, he wasn't asking questions like that. He was asking good questions. Good questions.
Yeah, he's going to get mad at us for him not asking a good question.
And now he's just asking silly questions. Is Tennessee basketball team... are they ranked? Like, come on, Chip. Get to Knoxville, man. You get
is
delirious.
Is he going to play Vanderbilt on Saturday?
Chip gets delirious when he ain't been around his orange and white brothers and sisters, man. What's Alabama's football record next year?
4-6, 4-8. That Pac-12 roster is going to struggle.
They did get Ron Williams back in the boat. They do have Jalen Milroe. I do think we need to understand they still got good players on their team. Just not as many. Just not as many good players, but they still have good players. And DeBoer is a good coach. Yeah, I'm going to go 8-4. I'm going to go 8-4. I'm going to go 8-4.
I'm sure they'll win 9 or 10 games. They have a good roster still, and I'm sure they'll do some damage in the portal in the spring. So can't even really predict their roster because it's, again, I'm sure they're going to do a lot of work in the spring.
Yeah. It's hard to predict rosters. It's hard to predict records. I mean, Greg McElroy has Tennessee winning 8-9 games next year right now.
And I'm stunned.
And folks are losing their mind. And I'm like, y'all, it is the end of January. Who cares what Greg?
Well, I think people are losing their mind because I'm paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of he thinks Tennessee is going 8-4 because he doesn't see much difference with the offense. And I don't understand how you can make that comment. Hey, Joe Milton's not going to be the quarterback who Greg criticized all season long and mocked about Joe throwing the football 100 yards. He mocked Joe all season long for that and him not being a real quarterback because all he does is throw the ball far and doesn't put touch on the football, and then says that he doesn't see much difference when Nico is going to be taken over. And they've added some players on offense that should help the offense take a step forward to returning to what it was the first two seasons. I think that's mostly why. It's like, I don't want to bring this up, but our girl Candace Parker's going through it right now. Have you seen the Candace Parker drama?
I saw something where she's mentioned being a Bears fan. I didn't read all of it. What'd she say? Yeah.
Well, she got herself. She said something on one of the television networks that Jalen Brunson struggled in the second round of the playoffs last year,
mm-hmm.
and Jalen Brunson did not. She was wondering whether you can win a championship with your star player being a small player.
That's what old girl said too.
Yeah, one of Becky her comments
Hammond.
Was
Becky Hammond. Becky okay, Hammond. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I recently said that. Yeah.
Yes, but one of Candace's points that she was making to back up her point was that Jalen Brunson got to the second round of the playoffs last year and struggled, and Jalen Brunson averaged like over 30 points a game in the second round of the playoffs last year. And Knicks fans were calling her out for that inaccurate comment because Brunson played well in the second round of the playoffs, and then she went on a Twitter rant yesterday because Knicks fans have been coming at her neck, and like she addressed everything but the thing that Knicks fans were mad at her about. She made all these points and it had nothing to do with why the Knicks fans are mad at her. And that's kind of what I feel like with Greg McElroy is like, yeah, fans don't like to hear Greg McElroy say Tennessee's going to 8-4, 9-3, but I think the bigger issue, excuse me, was that I had bronchitis last week, I think. Right. I'm getting over that.
You got time for that.
But I think the bigger issue Tennessee fans had was like, no, the offense isn't going to look much different, which I don't know how you could say that, but that's just me.
I'm not going to sit here and say I completely agree with Greg McElroy, but I'm not going to sit here and like rip him to shreds and make it seem like he'll know what he's talking about and do that. Nico is the quarterback. Nico will be able to do some things differently. This offense will be able to do some things differently because Nico, I think, will do a better job with the RPO game. I do think it's worth mentioning that a lot of dudes that were part of the 8-4 team that disappeared in the second half of the Mizzou game because of leadership, disappeared Florida, the moment they hit us in the mouth, we folded. Alabama game in the second half are coming back. Got some nice NIL deals. And I've said this before. You want talent. You want experience. And if you come back, do not come back the same player as you were last year. You a super senior. If you ain't a leader, why are you wasting your time? And why are you wasting your team's time? Like, it's one thing to be a senior and you are looked upon to be a leader. to lead by example, hold people accountable. But if you've been in college 5, 6, 7 years, we got a dude in Miami who's off to play his 9th year. And if you ain't trying to lead, then you in the way.
Are you just talking about the offense or
about whole team, because we're talking about the whole team record, right? But I am talking about offense too. I'm talking about it all. There's a lot of experience up front. There's a lot of experience up front on defense. And I just want to see the leadership take another step. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see.
I'm with you. I thought it was curious that's how, because I feel like a lot of the guys that led to Tennessee folding in those games, not all of them left, but I do feel like a majority of them left, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Say it slower.
The attrition on offense, I feel like a good chunk of the attrition on offense helped lead to those second half performances that you alluded to.
You mean with Hyatt and Hendon leaving?
No, I'm talking about off of this team that just went 8-4. This year's team did not have the leadership necessary, right?
Yeah, not enough. Not saying you don't have any, but you didn't have enough.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But the guys who were supposed to be your leaders on offense were not. And I feel like those guys have, for the most part, have left. Not all of them. But I feel like there were some. Look, I'm saying there's some guys still left that I'm like turning my head at, like you are right now.
Yeah.
But there were some guys who, a good chunk of them, I also feel like moved on, at least on the offensive side of the ball.
There's some players that left, hit the portal, that wasn't necessarily described as team guys their whole career. And this season's going to prove whether or not they were an issue from this past year's team or not. And I know you got to run, but like, to have something that you've never had, you got to be someone that you've never been. And these dudes on this team, they got a little taste of it in 2022 after being a laughingstock of college football 2020 and 2019, if you were on this roster. And so if you want to take that next step, you're not going to do it being the same person, same player, same leader that you are right now. Like, you have to be somebody better. And I'm speaking from experience here. That's why I'm harping on it. Because I don't hear anybody else talking about what I'm talking about with leadership. And that's fine, because no one can speak on that because they ain't been in the locker room. So I get
that. That's exactly what I was about to say. You know what it takes.
Yeah, I get that. I know what it takes. So I ain't moving from that. And I haven't heard anybody go, come on, Swain. You know, that's not the... They know I know. Everybody know I know. What a locker room is, and the dynamics and what it takes. Like, I got two eyeballs. When you struggle with responding to adversity, it points at leadership. Like, you can't be a team that's only good when you have the lead or at home. You can't win the way you want to win. And it goes to the basketball team. You're not going to win anything if you could only win at home. You got to be able to win neutral site games, be able to win away games. You got to be able to do that. And you're able to do it with leadership. Jimbo Fisher, who was a national championship winning head coach, who was a part of the excitement staff, but I remember leading up to A&M Tennessee game. And one of the biggest points of that game is how poorly A&M has been on the road when Jimbo Fisher was a head coach, and how great Tennessee has been at home under Josh Heupel and how something was going to give. And I remember Jimbo Fisher was asked about this, I want to say on a teleconference. Well, what does it take to win on the road? And Jimbo Fisher said leadership. Just because he got fired, got $70 million, and flamed out of Florida State towards the end of his career there, doesn't mean he don't know football. It doesn't mean he don't know what it takes to win. He knows what it takes. It's actually doing it that he had a problem with consistently. So that's kind of going back to Greg McElroy's. Like, he don't know all the dynamics that I know, but like when I'm looking at a team that's returning everybody essentially back from 8-4 team, I'm okay with putting the win total at 9 right now. And he said 8-4, 9-3. Like, I'm okay with putting it there right now, because I want to see what these new dudes are going to do. I want to see what the young players are going to do. I want to see if Brew McCoy is anywhere close to himself or better than the old version of himself. I want to see if Dante Thornton is going to have a bounce back year. Like, there's a lot that we have to see first. So there's no point in getting upset with Greg McElroy in January about him saying 9 wins. Okay, cool, man.
It's just the fact that he's a former Alabama quarterback.
There it is. It was crazy.
Which, by the way,
he gets killed by Bama people more than anybody.
McElroy's got his own issues right now. Bama fans are coming for Greg's neck right now. They are not happy with Greg. They don't feel like he's being a Bama enough.
Bro, they be on his neck. They be on him. So, yeah, they be on him, man. They really do. All right, Ben. You, my friend, have some business to tend to, making that you get us the baseball information that we want, that we need.
Nelson wants.
We're looking for another run for my baseball program. We know what's coming. We're going to wrap up today's program with that. It was a great conversation. Basketball this weekend against
Vanderbilt. And I do want to say real quick, Swain, on the way out the door, I'm filling in with John Wilkerson tomorrow morning on Sports Talk from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. So if you want to put up with me for 3 more hours talking into a microphone, I'll be with the GOAT John Wilkerson tomorrow morning.
That's what's up, man. When I asked you to fill in, you said you was booked.
What's that?
So when I asked you to fill in, you said you tell me you booked.
Yeah, the same way you tell me that your book. Well, your show doesn't allow a backup producer to be a part of it. John Wilkerson doesn't care about backup producers contributing to his show. So I'd greatly appreciate him for that.
You're so petty. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for us to depart. We hope you have a great weekend, a great rest of your Thursday. Check out Ben McKee in the morning. On Sports Animal, we got Josh and Swain this afternoon. We'll be out and about. So tune in there. We'll have Tennessee commit George McIntyre on the program today. So looking forward to that. For Ben McKee of GoVols247, I'm Jason Swain. The Swain Events, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Hope everyone has a blessed day. Peace and love. We are out.